Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Church Australia. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au. Saying welcome home. Good morning, Gateway. How's it going? It's good. My name is Singe, and I'm a disciple of Jesus. And if you've heard any of my messages in this series on Mark in the last couple of months, you'll know that that's not a super great thing. Because I don't have very much respect for the disciples as we've been making our way through Mark. Because they're idiots. And Jesus calls them fools. I'm not just making this up. He says in this particular passage, "How long do I have to be among you?" I think that maybe that's how Jesus feels about me sometimes as well, to be honest. So this morning, I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, because I have come to the realization that although I've been talking about the disciples and we've been talking about how dumb they are to have been walking beside Jesus and seeing all of the things that he does, and then still failing to believe and failing to remember what he has done, I have come to the realization that I am just as dumb as them at times when it comes to my faith in Jesus. And so as we've been doing in this series, we've been making our way through Mark and we've been picking out a section from each chapter each week to talk about. And this morning I want to talk about the story of the man who brings his demon-possessed child to Jesus. And I think this morning we're not really talking that much about the demon-possessed child. If anybody's freaked out by that, that's okay. We're not talking so much about the demon-possessed child. Really, we're talking about how the father relates to Jesus in that story. And I think that that's the main part of the story. But first of all, I want to give some examples maybe of where we struggle to not be like the disciples, to be better than the disciples. So I just want to read some phrases, and I just want you to clock what happens inside your head, what happens inside your spirit when you hear these phrases. God loves you no matter what you did this week. God can do more than you could ever imagine. There is a good future and hope for you. Just trust God with your whole life and he'll give you rest and peace. God will supply your every need. All things are possible. And now the reason I ask you to just clock what happens in your head or happens in your spirit is that these should be statements of empowerment. But who here, when you hear those things, can't help but question them or place some conditions on those statements? I think that when we hear those statements, we listen out for catches. We wonder, how could they be true for me? I mean, I get that they're true, but how could they be true for me? And I think we also think that if they don't or haven't come true in extravagant ways, then maybe we were dumb to trust God with them in the first place. And I think we turn those statements into statements that are a little bit more like this. God would love me more if I swore less or gave more or had more patience. Sure, God could do more than I imagine, but he's not going to do it for me. God has a good future for me. Great. I bet his good and my good are different. He'll give me rest. Has he seen my list of ministry commitments? Put that on top of the kids. There isn't even time to clean the car. God will supply my every need. Yeah, I don't think he's logged into my internet banking, to be honest. All things are possible. Well, sure, I can get behind that in theory, but what is that supposed to mean in real life, Jesus? I believe that it's true God can do anything. And I believe it's true that we can be part of his plan. And I believe that God will supply my every need. When I'm at my best, anyway, I believe those things. Do I believe those things 100% flat out all the time like I should? Probably not. I put those catches, I put those conditions on it sometimes, if I'm really honest with you. I said for a couple of weeks now, the disciples were dumb, and we see it all the way through the book of Mark. But the truth is, I do a pretty good job of keeping that tradition going strong. I flip-flop, just like the disciples did, between having total faith in what God is doing in and around me, and almost no faith. I mean, I was doing well when I quit my job because I was taking my place in Jesus' plan for my life. That was a big leap and I jumped into it happily. But I wasn't doing as well with my faith a few years later when I was really believing Jesus that my next step was a full-time job at Gateway and I got offered a part-time job. Where are you, Jesus? I was doing well at that conference in that healing session when there were all these people praying for healing and we were seeing it happening and it was amazing. My faith was through the roof. But the truth is I wasn't doing that well a couple of weeks ago when I was prepping for camp launch and I had a massive to-do list and it felt like there were not that many people free to help me get through that list. I felt quite alone. I was doing well at the start of last year. Camp had just gone great. I was about to get married. I'd moved into a new house that was awesome. Yeah, God really brings things together. My faith's through the roof right now. But I'm not always doing as well when I face setbacks in my job or I'm sick and it's the middle of winter. And despite knowing better, I still wonder if anybody is on my side. Now, there's a part of me that wanted to make these examples a bit more generic, a bit more maybe specifically relatable to you, but these are just some personal examples because I want you to know that I don't have it all together. I'm one of those dumb disciples, apparently, I've realized. Just because it says pastor on the door to my office doesn't mean anything when it comes to these difficulties in life. If you've been human for any length of time, you will know that there are ups and downs in life. Unfortunately, that is another promise from the Bible. One we don't talk about that often, hey? But whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're here for the first time or you've been coming forever, I can tell you with confidence this morning that God's promises are standing as strong today as any other day. Because I am trying to learn to take my confidence from my experiences. And the job wasn't full-time at first, but it is now. An incredible team of people made time and turned up to make camp launch happen and make it happen easily. And we had a camp launch that was far beyond what I could have imagined. It's spring and it's sunny and my dog loves me. And I know that there are people and God on my side. My experiences tell me that God's promises are true, even if sometimes I don't feel like that. So what is the difference between doing well in believing those promises and not doing well? That's what we're going to try and figure out from this passage in Mark. So let's see what we can figure out. So firstly, on your outline there, you'll see, I think, that there are a couple of attitudes that hold us back and drag us down. And we see the Father show some of these attitudes. And so one of the quotes here, I asked your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. Those disciples were right there. They had seen Jesus heal. They'd been instructed on healing and casting out spirits directly from Jesus. Well, if they can't do it, what hope do I have? And so your first feeling there is, what if I can't do it? What if I can't? What if God has these plans for me and I just can't do my part in them? What if God has these promises for my life, but I can't play my part? And so we worry, what if I can't do it? Because the truth is, I think you're probably very similar to me in that we are much better at holding on to our failures and the times that things didn't work out how we wanted them to, than we are at hanging on to the times that God obviously came through for us. Sure, surely I don't have to mention how dumb the disciples were at being bad at this and how bad I am at it. But God wants you to think about what you can do and how you can trust Him to help you live your life like His promises are true. It's the enemy who whispers into your ear what can't happen and that God won't come through for you. Apparently, sometimes, literally, as recorded in Mark. And if we look at what the spirit of not trusting God looked like in the boy's life, the spirit often throws him into the fire or the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Do you ever feel like you're doing your best to have a go at God's plan? Like you're doing your best at trying to trust Him? And it feels like something is just throwing you off track? Like you can't quite do what you want to do? And maybe you get thrown so far off track that you start to wonder if God can even do what He says He can do. And if we look carefully at this sentence, we see that the Father tacks on this interesting condition. Have mercy on us, Jesus, and help us if you can. And so your second feeling, the second attitude that holds us back and drags us down is this. What if God can't do it? What if I'm trusting Him? What if I'm believing in these promises? But maybe I know I should trust that God can do it, but I can't help but have this niggling question in the back of my head. What if God can't or won't do it? I mean, it's a fairly reasonable addendum to the sentence to anybody. I mean, we add if you can to a lot of things and it's completely reasonable. Hey, can you come help me move on Saturday, move my house on Saturday? If you can, if you're available. It's a completely reasonable sort of condition to tack on. And I don't see it as like an angry tack on, or it's not an if you can as a challenge. We're not reading this as like, if you can. I don't think it was a challenge. I see it with like a father's heart. It's a pleading question. And I think that there's an undercurrent of hope in that if you can. It's not really an if you can. It's a please, please say that you can. Please say that you will. Nonetheless, I think these attitudes hold us back when we live our lives wondering if we can do our part, because faith in Jesus does have an outworking. It does ask us to play a part. And we wonder if God can really do it. Will He really come through on those promises? Because we're very good at holding on to the times that He doesn't, and not very good at holding on to the times that He does. So, how do we get over these questions? Notice that I said there are attitudes that hold us back, not questions. The questions in themselves, can I do it? Can God do it? Will God do it? They're natural. I would argue that they are helpful in understanding our faith. And they also have no control over your life unless you let them. They have no control over your life unless you let them. Attitudes are things that we choose. Ways of living that we can choose in spite of the questions that we have. That we can choose in spite of the questions that are in the back of our head because of the experiences and the promises that we hold on to, and we choose attitudes. So the question, what if I can't do it, is natural and it can be helpful in understanding ourselves. But if you live with an attitude of what if I can't do it, you will be held back constantly. And similarly, if you live with an attitude of what if God can't do it, you'll be held back constantly. So what if I can't do it? It's a fair enough question. But it's also completely disarmed if you live your life with the attitude, if God tells me to do it, I can do it. What if God can't do it? A fair enough question. But completely disarmed if you live your life with the attitude, God can do anything with anything, including me, so I'm just along for the ride. In summary, what attitude should we choose in spite of our questions? We should choose to live with an attitude of faith. And that's your next fill in there. And what do I mean when I say live with an attitude of faith? I mean live with an attitude of faith that God's promises are true and that we can trust them at all times, despite the questions we might have or the caveats or conditions that we place on God's promises in our own head. If we choose to live with an attitude of faith, we can choose faith in spite of those questions. And in this story, Jesus sees just a tiny bit of faith in the Father. And Jesus' response to a tiny bit of faith in the Father is that anything is possible if someone believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. And he doesn't condemn the Father for his questions or his doubts or his conditions on his requests. He responds to his tiny bit of faith. And this is how I think that God responds to us if we choose to live with an attitude of faith as well. And this is the key line, I think, from the Father. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my questions. Help me overcome the conditions that I place on your promises. And I love that this is in the Bible. And not because it's super deep, or because it would look really good blown up on my living room wall. But to be honest, because it comforts me, because it sums up how I feel about faith sometimes. When there is so much against me, or even just when my mind rallies against me to create a giant obstacle, a huge, unmovable, painful, crushing me obstacle. I don't know if I can overcome it. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if God can do it. But it's enough for me to quietly and reverently and with faith, in spite of this huge obstacle, come to God and say, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I mean, God, I believe a little bit, but I don't know if I believe this much. Help me to believe this much. And to me, this is like the mustard seed of faith in action in real life. We hear about this in a couple of places, but on your outline there, you'll see Matthew. I tell you the truth, that if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Here is the great news this morning about living your life with an attitude of faith. Your faith doesn't have to be in proportion to the miracle you want to see. Your faith doesn't have to be in proportion to the miracle you want to see. Your faith just has to be in the right place. Who do you look to for help when you're in times of trouble? That's who you're placing your faith in. Who do you call on when the obstacle is insurmountable? That is who you've placed your faith in. Who do you call on for reinforcements when you can't do it by yourself? That's who you've placed your faith in. Your faith doesn't have to be in proportion to the miracle that you need. But we are encouraged also to grow our faith. Because if we find ourselves in a place where we have more faith, it will be easier and easier to face obstacles. Or maybe it'll just put us in a place where God can put us in front of bigger and bigger obstacles so that our faith can grow and grow even more. But let's just stay on the hopeful side that that's not what God is going to do with us, but he is. But he will. So how do we grow? How do we grow our faith? If living with an attitude of faith is going to help us overcome the questions and the doubts that we have, and we want to choose that attitude for life instead of an attitude of doubt, how do we grow our faith so that we can continue to move forwards with this? The disciples asked, "Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. What the hell, disciples? What were you trying? Can only be cast out. How is that not their first stop? Prayer. Oh my goodness. Have I mentioned how dumb these guys were? I mentioned how dumb I am sometimes. Faith is about relying on God above all else. But we are hardwired to try and rely on ourselves or other things that we can see and take hold of, like friends, likes on Instagram, money, property, cars. Listen to Mark's message from last week. Our kids' success and so much other stuff. Stuff that we can work towards and see some gains in and that we feel like we're in control of. Now, it is good to work for God. It is good for us to bring our gifts to God, time, talent, and treasure. It's good for us to work and do our best in all things as if we're doing it for God, because we are. And our offering and our work is what comes out of our faith, and that is important. Read James if you're interested in that sort of thing. But when it comes to faith, Jesus doesn't say, work harder at growing your faith. He actually says, come to me and let me grow it. You're only going to beat this level by spending time with me. The only way you'll overcome this thing that's trying to throw you off track is going to be by prayer, not by whatever else the disciples were trying. And so your final fill in there is this. Stop working to grow it. Instead, rest to grow it. Stop working to grow your faith. Instead, spend some time resting to grow your faith. Trust the things. Talking about growth, let's trust the things a plant trusts to allow growth. Have faith in the soil. You're here this morning, hopefully you're in a great life group. You're in good soil. Set your roots down here, plant yourself here. If you're half in, half out, I come once every 2 months, plant yourself here. Trust the soil. And have faith in the rain. God wants to speak to you and supernaturally pour out into your soul exactly what you need. Take in His word at every opportunity. There's nothing a plant can do to get more rain. It can only rest and wait for the rain and be sure to take it on board. And have faith in the sun. The sun, Jesus. See what I did there? It's memorable. You don't have to earn God's goodness. A plant doesn't earn soil. It doesn't earn rain. It doesn't earn sun. And Jesus has done everything that is needed for you to be able to rest in God's goodness. So trust in the sun and allow it to grow. A plant doesn't grow faster by trying harder. A farmer can't double their crops by standing and looking at them. Grow! You have to allow your faith to grow. You have to allow it by spending time with Jesus. And so this is your next step. And it's not a particularly difficult one this morning. Now take your faith from here out into the rest of your week. If you're feeling like your faith is up right now, take that out into this week. Trusting that if this is what your faith feels like now, it can feel like this on Wednesday morning when you walk into the office as well. Choose an attitude of faith for whatever situation you head back to when this service ends. Choose an attitude of faith in spite of your questions. And choose to grow your faith by resting with Jesus and trusting him. Let's pray. Hey God, just thank you so much that you still love me, even though I'm an idiot like the original disciples. And God, I just pray that you would continue to grow faith in me. Continue to help me rest and allow that faith to grow. Continue to help me to look back on my experiences and trust you even when I have questions or doubts or I want to put conditions on your promises. Jesus, no matter what we're facing this week, no matter where we're going back to, whether we're going back to difficult work situations, difficult health situations in ourselves or in our family, whether we're going back to face addictions, whether we're going back to face difficult relationships or broken relationships, whether we're going back to problems with our kids, God, whatever the obstacle is in front of us, remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your promises. And God, grow our faith. Thank you that that's all you want to do, that you want us to trust you, even when it's hard, and help us to do that. In your name, amen.